We kick off hour number three of the program, Friday edition of Three and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford with you. Talking college football as we wrap up SEC Media Days. What will it take for Tennessee to be elite again? What does that mean? Martin Nagy tweets,
the right coach.
The year is 2189. The invasion.
I am dead.
Of the evil Zomulus from the planet Rodan, sent to enslave humanity, dominates the news. On the same day, the Vols win the SEC title.
Yes.
Man wearing an orange shirt knocks on the door of Matt Hayes' great-great-grandson. Yes?
Told you!
Boom.
Back. Take that, zombies. Mm-hmm. Take it. Eat it. Boom.
If I was going to write an article that says Tennessee's not going to be elite again, my lead bullet point would be that Tennessee and Georgia are both just copying the Alabama plan. So how are you going to dominate college football? In fact, I would have to change my headline to Tennessee will not be elite until Nick Saban retires. And my only point would be Georgia and Tennessee are trying to copy Alabama. The best you're going to do is be about as good as them. You're not going to dominate them until Nick Saban falls off, which, I don't know, people could disagree with, whatever, but at least would have some type of angle that would be valid.
Is it possible for any of those types of programs to, I mean, you're saying drop off, so that's kind of like a, like, could, is there a program or coach who could just pass Nick Saban? Just like, oh, they're just better than, even Nick Saban's still really good, but they're just way better.
I think Dabo can because he does it differently. I don't know.
I don't disagree with that.
My problem with Georgia's plan and Tennessee's plan to some degree is you've kind of hired what you hope is a clone to get you on that level, and then maybe they beat them, maybe they don't. Now, it's possible that Kirby or Pruitt, and I hope Pruitt, as they do more head coaching, and this probably happened for Dabo, kind of find their own style, and it does diverge more and more from the way Saban does it. And now you've got two coaches that are both really good, that both do things a little differently now, but have some of the same core values, I guess. And that then ultimately, you know, Pruitt could overtake Nick Saban.
Well, I wonder if Pruitt's time with Georgia and Florida State don't give him an advantage over someone like Kirby.
Good.
Now, Kirby's advantage was that he came in and inherited a 10-win team, like
right.
a very talented roster. Mark Richt just wasn't the game day coach. Like, Mark Richt probably did not have enough of Nick Saban in him, you know, that type of drive, whereas Jimbo Fisher, I think he does. I don't know why, looking back, you wonder maybe why didn't Jimbo Fisher win a little bit more at Florida State? I'm not sure. I don't know enough about Florida State. Maybe I'd have to talk to Chance about, like, you know, money and donations, and you wouldn't think talent would be an issue. But I wonder if – I'm not saying Jeremy Pruitt is going to be Dabo, but is he enough of a mix of not Nick Saban coaching styles to be – more likable than Nick, easier to work with than Nick, but also still has the same drive and focus committed towards football that Nick and Dabo have. Like, I think it could be a unique kind of blend. Like, you could have Alabama and Nick Saban. I mean, I think Kirby Smart and Nick Saban are basically like the exact same person. But could Jeremy Pruitt have enough Dabo-like qualities at a place like Tennessee to where you can kind of mix the two styles and have mm-hmm. a different level of success? I'm not going to say yes, but I don't know that I'm ready to say no either. I don't know what Kirby's relationships are like with his players. I know Nick Saban doesn't really have them, so to speak. You're kind of like a chess piece to Nick Saban, whereas Dabo, like, probably knows everybody's, you know, mom and dad's name, brother and sister's name. Like, it's just different. The same focus towards football, but I do wonder if Jeremy Pruitt can have, like, the personal touch that Dabo has along with the football aspect of Saban. Again, Jeremy Pruitt's problem is he comes in after a 4-8 season. Kirby Smart inherits 10-3, drops down a year as he's kind of getting everything right, and then they're back into you know, the playoff and then in the playoff mix the next year. Again, this is why you make a move earlier. Like, if Tennessee hires Jeremy Pruitt in the offseason between 16 and 17, where are we now heading into 2019? Like, you're probably – think about that. Think about this roster a year better, a year more developed heading into this schedule. Wow, you feel pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about next year's team, but this year's schedule. Feel pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's – again, it's like – it feels like Tennessee probably waited a little bit too long to make a move, which is what we've said for quite some time. But I don't know. I found that kind of interesting.
Do you think Dabo will always be that way? You think that's just the way he's wired?
Yeah.
Or do you think two more national champions, he's all football, trying to be the best college football coach?
I don't. I happen to find him to be very genuine. Maybe Nate would disagree. He's a little bit more versed on Dabo, but like, I will say this for Dabo. Like, it's the way Nick Saban is consistent in his, like, message everywhere he goes, everything he does. Very business, no fun. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw this. They asked him about the "It Just Means More" slogan,
mm-hmm.
the SEC's slogan for the last, like, 5 years. And he goes, "It just means more. What is that?" And they're like, the slogan for the SEC. And he's just like, he is so tunnel vision football. It's unbelievable. And he doesn't break from it. Like, there's never a moment where, you know, he's off brand. I think Dabo's the same way in, you know, what he cares about. And I think that the types of players that want to go to Clemson, that resonates with them. And the types of players that want to go to Alabama, Nick Saban's message resonates with them. But I do wonder if, you know, long term one proves to be better than the other. We'll see. But I don't know. I don't, at this point, if you're Dabo, I don't know why you'd change a damn thing ever. Like, just keep doing what you're doing. You seem to enjoy it. His staff loves him. They've had two coaching changes in the last, like, 8 years. Nah, man. He's got it rolling. Now, it's going to be interesting to see when some coaching changes ultimately do happen. You know, when he does have to replace Venables, maybe. Offensive coordinator, so on and so forth. Like, does he make good moves? But as far as his approach, I wouldn't think so. I'd say just keep doing what you're doing. I wouldn't change if I was him.
No, and I'm not suggesting he will. He's younger than Saban, so he has
a lot. Yeah,
yeah. You know, he has more energy. I guess the players, like you said, like him more, can relate to him more,
and it's just different. Some players don't care. Some players just think, I'm going to Alabama. They're going to train me. I'm going to go to the NFL. I'm going to win a bunch of games. Awesome. They want more discipline. They want a more, you know, regimented schedule. They want all that stuff. And some guys are like, I want to have fun, too. I want to be a kid in college, you know. And you've kind of got your choice between the two. Because they're competing for the same players. You know, the same D-tackle that ends up at Clemson, Alabama wanted him. And the same that goes to Bama, Clemson wanted him. It's just about fit. And they're getting the best of, you know, the cream of the crop. They're getting the best, and they're getting the best fit because they're so different. It's really unfortunate to not be one of those two teams, because depending on what an elite level kid wants, they can probably get it between Clemson and Alabama, and they don't even have to consider anybody else. I mean, Clemson, they're talking about being full on the recruiting trail in, what was that, May? That article came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I mean, they're recruiting 3 years down the road already, because they're just that good.
I think Dabo, I mean, he annoyed me more at first because I thought...
You thought it was Hugh Freeze-ish.
I still think he likes to be the center of attention, but you can be annoying in that way and also be genuine with the way you are with people. And I think through the Kelly
Tim
Bryant...
Tebow.
The Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, Tim Tebow annoys people all the time, but I still think...
But that is who he is, and it's real.
Yeah, and I think Dabo Swinney's is similar to that. I mean, I know, you know, I have family that go to church with Dabo Swinney. Like, they, you know, he just is who he is. He likes to be the center of attention. He doesn't mind to kind of be corny and be goofy. You know, maybe... I don't know. I mean, he baptized a kid once, which... Me personally,
in the horse trough,
I think it's great. But he invited like extra media, which I thought was a little like, come on, like really, like is that what that should be about? I guess regardless of your religious beliefs, it's like is that really the attention what that should be about? But I'm sure he looks at it the other way and says this is important to me and this football player, and I would like to showcase that to the world because I want to be a showcase to the world that this is the way you can live and play football and whatever. And so anyway, Dabo annoys me a little bit with the attention, I guess. I mean, like, after he won the Natty and he went on that like just elongated speech that took forever, like it was just annoying. But I don't think he's Hugh Freeze. I don't think he's fake. It's like Tim Tebow's a great example. I don't think Tim Tebow's fake. He can still annoy you, but he's not fake. And Dabo Swinney, from a football coach standpoint, has absolutely, of course, in the last few years proved that he's completely not fake at all. Couple reactions here before the break. Big Josh says, George already would have passed Alabama if not for Tua. Clemson has won two of three. And then Josh's journal, different Josh, says, I'm old enough to remember 2006 when other idiots like Matt Hayes were saying Alabama's time had passed and they would never again be what they were. I mean, we remember when Hugh Freeze beat Alabama and the dynasty done. It's over.
Yeah.
Never be elite again. Just a dumb take. We'll come back with more. It's hour number three of Three and Out. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville.
Really needed you to come in with When the Levee Breaks right there.
Mm.
Could have had it, Billy.
Mm.
There's lines in the song that say, go to Chicago, go to Chicago. Yeah. That's where I'm going.
It's not all about you, Houston.
And about, yeah, it is.
So,
I mean, my life is
you're
about
going me. To watch the Cubs play at Wrigley Field. I would consider that walking on a dream.
Are you a Cubs fan?
No, but it's Wrigley Field.
You said bucket list.
Yeah.
I give him partial credit. This segment brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. We got Davey Hudson with today's Gold's Gym tip of the day.
It's that time of year again when the heat waves are starting to hit. Exercising vigorously in hot, humid conditions can lead to serious overheating and dehydration. So slow your pace when you know the temperature is going to be especially hot. On days when the thermostat is expected to reach over 80 degrees, exercising during cooler morning or evening hours, or at an air-conditioned gym, go to Gold's. Watch for signs of overheating such as headache, dizziness, nausea, faintness, cramps, or even palpitations. And that is today's Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day.
Don't overheat.
There you go. It's Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and
There's out. A heat wave in Chicago this weekend. Did I tell you that? 95. Up to 100.
Hmm.
The real feels like 112. I'm going to melt. Can't get ice cream. It'll just be melted pile of goo by the time I even get to my seat. Very sad.
Hmm.
Shouts out, though, to... I got a couple people that sent me some DMs yesterday. Tim and Neela Mafia sent me some stuff to do in Chicago, so I think I got that part taken care of.
That's good. I'm glad you're...
I'm on top of it.
Ready to roll up there in Big Ten country. Did you hear about Harbaugh?
Yeah, a lot of people are upset, and I don't really know why. Oh, my flight just got delayed. Sweet.
Hmm.
You want me to just stay for the whole show now?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to.
Okay.
How long?
Just 20 minutes.
Perfect.
That's really kind of funny.
I mean, if it had been like 2 hours, I'd have felt bad for you, but, you know, 20 minutes, that's no big deal. Can you just fly them a little?
It's actually really funny.
Just fly them a little faster? You know, just, I mean, how much faster do you have to go from here to, you know, just take a little math, I guess. Just crank up the miles per hour a little bit in the jet. Anyway.
I don't know how that works.
I thought it was hilarious that Harbaugh's taking shots now that Urmeyer can't beat his ass anymore.
Yeah, it feels like the guy in like the street fight who just gets completely pummeled or is getting pummeled, but then people like separate the fight and break up and he just kind of keeps talking. Like, yeah, if I'd have been able to keep fighting though, boy, I would have got you, you tall punk. What did Harbaugh? I mean, I don't know. Harbaugh, he's also 100% accurate. Like, Urban Meyer, great coach. He's won everywhere he's been. He's fantastic. He's elite. But he's also had controversy everywhere he's been. Like, this is just true. Maybe it's not Jim Harbaugh's place to say that, but I don't know. I don't really have a problem with the coach telling the truth, and Lord knows I'm not a big Jim Harbaugh homer, but he's just keeping it real. He's just telling the truth. So do we have an issue with this? Is this really like a problem?
I guess not. I mean, I
just saying.
I mean, I hate Urban Meyer for all his crap. I mean, I do feel like it takes away from what Ohio State's done. We have the elite argument. If Urban Meyer doesn't have that controversy and is still there at Ohio State, under even your criteria, elite.
Oh, yeah.
It's his controversy that has hurt the program.
But it's also his intrinsic value that made them what they were.
His brilliance.
Yeah. I mean, he's sure. He's a slime bag, but he's really good at coaching football.
But couldn't he be that good? I don't feel like his sliminess really helps him.
It did at Florida because he didn't discipline guys.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, his sliminess helped guys stay on the field instead of, you know, being a good man and doing the right thing. Like, his sliminess kept Zach Smith as one of his coaches, and it kept his mentor happy, which benefits him and benefits his staff. I mean, Zach Smith was a really good recruiter. It benefits him to keep him on staff instead of doing the right thing and protecting Zach Smith's wife. So, yeah, it did help him. I don't know what level of success he could have achieved by being a good guy and not doing those things, but I do think it still helped him at least somewhat. But I got no problem with what Jim Harbaugh said. He's just telling the truth. I mean, a lot of Ohio State fans aren't going to like it, and they're going to try to use this as bulletin board material, beat Michigan as if that rivalry needed any kind of boost, right? I mean, it just doesn't. So good on Jim Harbaugh, I guess. I can't believe I'm actually crediting him. I don't know what the what the text or context was of this conversation. But again, I have no problem with it. He's just telling the truth.
It was a question that Harbaugh was asked about Meyer's decision to leave Ohio State, and he just said, Urban Meyer has a winning record, really phenomenal record everywhere he's been. Also, controversy follows everywhere he's been.
Yeah, I mean, that's why he left Florida. There was off-the-field stuff that he turned into a heart issue, and then here there was off-the-field stuff that turns into a brain cyst. Like, I guess it could just be a coincidence that as soon as the controversy hits, he gets sick. Maybe it is stress-related, but that's self-induced stress. Like, you're bringing that on yourself and causing these issues. I don't necessarily feel bad for a guy who does things that way. I just don't. It's going to be very interesting to me now. Does Jim Harbaugh seize this opportunity with Urban Meyer gone, or does it open up the door for someone like Scott Frost, who I think is a really good coach? Is Scott Frost good enough to quickly overtake Michigan and Ohio State, or even just Michigan, and kind of close the door on Jim Harbaugh being elite at Michigan?
Well, Harbaugh went on to say, you welcome accountability. All you can be judged on is your record, what your record is overall, what your record is in conference, and what your record is in head-to-head matchups with other teams that you play. I think you'll find that right now Ohio State is the only team that has a better record than us, has a better conference record than us, and has a better overall head-to-head matchup with us. So yeah, to your point, he's thinking Michigan's the best team in the Big Ten now.
Well, he's saying we've been second best.
Right.
Until now. And he's maybe or maybe not hinting that they should be or could be the best moving forward. I mean, I remember growing up and John Cooper never could beat Lloyd Carr. It was the opposite. Ohio State couldn't beat Michigan. He beat everybody else, couldn't beat Michigan. They fired him. So I hope Jim Harbaugh prepares himself for that possibility. because another couple of years of not beating Ohio State.
I was going to say, you want it's one thing to lose to Urban Meyer and Ohio State when you're at Michigan. It's one thing to lose to Ohio State at all, but now that this opportunity seems to have presented itself, if Ohio State continues their dominance over Michigan, some people are already starting to sour on Jim Harbaugh. I think the volume gets cranked way up, especially if this does open the door and you see Scott Frost in Nebraska make strides and kind of steal the spot that everyone thinks is now going to be Michigan's. Like, if Ohio State drops but Nebraska jumps Michigan, or if Ohio State stays amazing and Nebraska jumps Michigan, Jim Harbaugh is in big, big trouble. Because, whew, like, you are now primed to be the team in that division to go to the playoff if you can handle your business. They're going to be favored in every game this year, if I'm not mistaken. Michigan is. Even over Ohio State from the early lines.
Man.
Like, the pressure is now cranked up on Harbaugh. And this is his, what, fourth year, fifth year? Like, he's had the time. He's got his guys. You've got a pretty good quarterback in Shea Patterson. He hit a hole in one. I don't know what the excuses are for Jim Harbaugh if this year isn't the year. To at least, you know, make big, big waves. I'm not saying they have to go undefeated and win the championship, but you need to go. If you don't go undefeated, that one loss better not be to Ohio State at the end of the year after the season you've just had.
Or Iowa by 40, you know.
Like, yeah, that's a good point, too.
This will be his fifth year.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is your full team. This is redshirt seniors and everybody below them, and they're all yours. So no excuses for Jim Harbaugh. Like, this is, and there was a lot of momentum when he got there. He didn't inherit a terrible situation. They weren't great, but you've got all your guys now. Time to take advantage of the opportunity that is non-Urban Meyer at Ohio State. It's a really big deal.
When we come back, we'll swing back to SEC Media Days. Mike Locksley had a response to what Nick Saban said about his assistants being distracted with their new job. And also, like, shouldn't we have the picks by now? Like, the media picks?
Today. They tallied them yesterday. We should get them today. Like, around lunchtime, I would imagine.
Well, at least have the a group of them, of people that put theirs out, so we can debate those as we roll on here. Two segments left. It's hour number three right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Fan Run studio, Friday edition, Three and Out. Alongside Houston Kress, I'm Nate Hodges. We got Billy Williford on the board. If you missed it, we talked about this a little earlier in the week. Nick Saban on SEC Network with Paul Feinbaum said this, quote, "When the season started, I think we were great. When we won the LSU game, it just seemed like people's own agenda starting to become more important." Feinbaum asked, "Coaches or players?" Saban replied, "Coaching. We got a lot of guys who want to be head coaches at different places. It takes a special person to stay focused on what they have to do now when they have a job somewhere else that's awaiting them, and they have a responsibility on staffs. I'm not being critical of those people. It's just very challenging. And we had a lot of that on our staff last year, and I think those relationships with players go a long way to keeping players where they need to be, to do the things they need to do, continue to prepare, practice the way they need to practice so that they can continue to improve and get better, and we just didn't do that very well at the end of last year." That kind of ties in with Tennessee a little bit, because Jeremy Pruitt was one of those guys in a different year that finished out coaching with Alabama while multitasking and working for Tennessee as the head coach. Mike Locksley was a guy last year, and you might think he's now the coach at Maryland. If I was one of those guys, I probably would have, I think I would have read those quotes. I'm like, oh, yeah, typical Nick. And I would have moved on about my day and not thought another thing about it. Or maybe I would have even said, he's not talking about me, and just moved on. Probably talking about Dan Enos or whoever else or whatever.
Yeah.
I probably would have just, even if he was talking about me, tried to convince myself he wasn't and moved on. Not Mike Locksley.
Going down swinging?
He contacted people at Alabama. He was asked a question about it at Big Ten Media Days. He said, "I called Alabama, and they, quote, assured me that the comment was not directed at me." He's like making sure Nick Saban's not upset with him.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is kind of a blanket statement that I don't I don't think Nick would pin that on anybody specifically.
Yeah. Just kind of a feeling, maybe.
But if you believe it, like, why wouldn't you just say it? And if you don't believe it, is it just a bull bleep excuse for Nick Saban?
Maybe. Mike Loxley said, I know this. This is what he said at Big Ten meetings. I know this. Why wouldn't I want to win the national championship to springboard my time here at Maryland?
It's a good point. It's a good point.
He said, I can sleep at night knowing we did a great job. We broke records there on offense. We gave ourselves a chance to win except one game, which I understand the expectation of Alabama is to win the championships, and we picked the national championship game to not execute well.
Mm. He's right.
Loxley was the only coach on that staff who became a head coach.
Where did Butch end up? Is Butch Jones still...
He's still an Alabama intern, right?
Remember when he was the tight ends coach at Maryland? He and Jeff Braun did the same thing, I guess. It was like officially official for a while, and now it's not.
Loxley did say there were, quote, quite a few guys on our staff at Alabama that had opportunities to interview for head coaching jobs, as he tries to play the it wasn't me card. But those didn't work out, so it kind of reads like Saban is talking about him.
But he was assured it wasn't him.
He called him. Yo, 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 what's up?
Interesting.
Yeah. I thought that was, most coaches just don't have time for drama. I mean, especially when it's Maryland and Alabama. Like, those programs got nothing to do with it. I mean, you can't pick two programs farther apart in Power 5 football.
Like, is that Loxley? Like, I don't want this used against me in the recruiting trail. Can you please assure me that this was not for me?
I need to be able to defend myself at Big Ten Media Days. Maybe.
I guess. Maybe he was expecting that that very question. Hmm. I mean, I just don't get it. Like, you fired Lane Kiffin because you thought he was, you know, double-dipping a little bit and not focusing on Alabama, but you didn't do that with any of these guys. And it cost you both ways. So, like, you know, I don't know if I guess you can't really blame Saban, right? I mean, he tried firing Lane Kiffin and bringing in Sarkisian. They lost the game, and he tried keeping them when they wanted to leave or were leaving. Like, he said, hey, coach threw the national championship game, and then they lost anyway.
Well,
like,
you know, the problem?
Maybe just don't be such a jerk and no one will want to leave. Look at Dabo. No coaching changes.
His problem is he's got Butch Jones. He can't promote that guy. If he had a real true up-and-comer at intern, he could just raise the guy up.
Like, the fact that Butch Jones can't get moved to tight ends coach or something, like, it's actually kind of amazing. I'm stunned that they don't even trust. I mean, of course, maybe Butch Jones is like, no, you don't have to do that. I'll just be on staff. I'm getting a bunch of money from Tennessee. If you can't pay me more than what I'm making from them, don't even worry about it.
Right, that's the clause in that. Right. If he gets a job.
Well, it's also a clause that he has to seek, like, competent employment. Like, mm-hmm. I think by the terms of his contract, he can't sit around and say, no, I don't want to be tight ends coach because that would offset money from Tennessee, take a position from you. I can be here and help, and you can go pay somebody else, and I'm still getting the same amount of money on my check no matter what. In fact, I don't know how this works. Is the check... Well, I think he kept his house here, so he's not paying any income tax on the money from Tennessee. Whereas if he gets a check from Alabama, he might have to pay, I don't know what income tax is in the state of Alabama, but it might be more financially beneficial to get Tennessee's check, even if Alabama could pay him like $500,000 a year with tax purposes. But per the terms of his contract, I'm pretty sure he can't do that. I don't know what would stop him, though, at this point. No, man, I'm trying to get a job. Nobody's interested. That's a pretty easy sell if you're Butch Jones, that nobody would be interested. Good point by you, though. I am waiting on these SEC Media Day selections.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'll like them, but I it's always interesting to see where teams kind of...
Do we want to give ours first before we see what most of the media...
What do you want me to rank, like East and West?
Sure.
Georgia, Florida, Missouri... Georgia, Florida, Missouri, Tennessee, South Carolina, Kentucky, Vanderbilt.
Nate?
Georgia, Florida, Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, Vanderbilt.
Ooh, Kentucky over Tennessee, huh? Interesting. Okay, now the West. Well, no, Billy, you got a different opinion?
Slightly. I would say Georgia, Florida, Missouri, Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina, Vandy.
I had South Carolina. Me and you were the same, except Kentucky and South Carolina flip. I think Kentucky just falls back this year. I think South Carolina might be okay.
Kentucky's beat South Carolina 3 straight years. It's pretty funny.
I did not know that.
And Kentucky can't beat Tennessee.
Wait. South Carolina beat Kentucky last year?
No, Kentucky's beating South Carolina.
Oh, gotcha. Years. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is strange. In the West, I'll go Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
LSU, A&M, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Ole Miss.
I will go Alabama, Texas A&M, LSU, Auburn, Mississippi State.
I didn't even name Auburn.
Yeah, I was about to
I'll
say
slide
that.
Auburn in at fourth.
And I'll take Ole Miss over Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm the same as Nate.
Okay.
A&M at 2? You know, a Clemson player yesterday said Notre
I think
Dame,
their schedule's too tough, man.
Said Notre Dame and Alabama, neither were the best team we played last year. It was Texas A&M.
Really?
I mean, that was that close game. I mean, it was still Kelly Bryant at quarterback.
I would love to see A&M be, like, out of nowhere good. Well, that I mean, and I think they're going to be really good. I just, with the schedule, it's really tough for me to say, yeah, they're going to, you know, be in the playoff hunt and win the SEC West. Their schedule's just so tough.
The game was at A&M last year, too.
Yes. Yeah, they go right. to yeah. Death Valley this year. Is that week 2?
But that doesn't matter in my
opinion.
No,
no, not at all. That's it just matters because it's a big physical thing, game, yeah. And then they have a couple of big games right after that, too. Sure. Their schedule's kind of stacked. Yeah, right.
But I still...
And a motivation issue and all that, so on and so forth.
I'm not going to believe that LSU's, like, turned the corner and they're, like, right there nipping at Alabama's heels. I just can't do it yet.
I mean, they should have beat Texas A&M. Well, they did beat them, frankly, in that game last year that went, like, 7, 8, 9 overtimes and 70-something. I mean, that game should have been over twice.
I just think if they're even again, you know, the Jimbo and that coach staff is just going
to. Well, they go to the Bayou this year, though. Mm-hmm. You got
to. I know. But year 1 to year 2, big jump.
Yeah, Joe Burrow at LSU, my guy, Big Joe.
All right.
I just didn't want him to go to Florida. He goes to LSU and look at the guy. I watched him at SEC Media Days yesterday. I like Joe Burrow. I'm rooting hard for Joe Burrow at LSU this year. Seems like a very likable guy. Seems like a very nice guy, and he's a good fit for LSU.
John Cooper, co-founder of Saturday Down South, picked Florida to win the East. Michael Bratton, news editor at Saturday Down South, picked Florida to finish 4th.
Who picked Florida to win the East?
John Cooper.
Interesting.
I was going to ask what.
I mean, they could.
Either way. I could finish 4th.
I mean, I had them 2nd. I mean, I'm thinking one game is the difference here. So,
what would be more surprising, Tennessee coming in 3rd? Like in the media picks, projections, or 6th in the East?
More 3rd.
Surprising 3rd.
I'd be surprised if
Missouri's 3rd. SEC schedule is so easy. I don't know how you don't put Missouri 3rd. Even if you don't really believe that they're going to be that good. Like, I mean, 3rd is – who's the best challenge? I mean, who – if you throw all the schedules out and just say who's the 3rd best team in the East, if you're not a Missouri believer, I just don't know who you – I mean, who's Kentucky because they were good last year? Tennessee because they have the most prestige in the past and might see a big jump, maybe. South Carolina because you just think they're going to have a good year.
They're due.
But then you add in the schedules and you're like, well, South Carolina's schedule is super hard. Can't be them. Tennessee's schedule is much harder than Missouri's. Can't be them. Kentucky probably taking a step back. Can't be them. And Missouri's SEC schedule is cake. So you might get to the end of the season and think in your head that Tennessee, Kentucky, and South Carolina are all better teams than Missouri, theoretically, and they're still 3rd in the SEC standings because of just, you know, they get to skip a lot of the big opponents.
Have we had any official word on whether or not their postseason ban is upheld or turned over?
I actually had that in the rundown. We can get that next. We'll hit a quick
break. Because somebody predicted them as a dark horse to win the East, and I'm like, they can't.
It's still up in the air to answer your question, and then we can get into.
Also, did you see the basketball college home court advantage rankings were released?
I did.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Pretty up there. Final segment of the day of the week. It's 3 and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford. SEC Media Days have wrapped up. Picks will come in. I guess we'll be able to break it all down on Monday, the teams and all that kind of stuff. That'll be fun.
Speaking of picks coming in, a little good news to send everybody into their weekend. Darrell Taylor, according to Dane Brugler, is a top 50 prospect for next year's NFL draft.
There we go.
8 sacks last year in only 3 games. People are expecting...
He played more than 3 games. Let's not mislead people.
No, I'm saying he had 8 sacks in only 3 games. Okay. He only had sacks in 3 games. Why are you going at my MVP candidate?
Bench him.
Here comes Nate. Bench him for Crouch.
That's not true.
Yeah, you're wanting to bench my guy. So it appears Tennessee's NFL draft drought will be over. That's good. Get to watch Darrell Taylor get drafted. Maybe someone else. We'll see kind of what happens this year.
Mm-hmm.
Nigel Warrior with a big year, you know, could get drafted at safety possibly. MVP. Those are my MVPs.
I'll be a team player and say the receivers probably have a good shot at being drafted.
Yeah.
Have a good year.
Who is is it Johnson? Is Brandon Johnson the 4th senior at wide receiver?
That's a good question.
Who are the 4? Jennings, Callaway,
Bird,
and then Brandon Johnson. Okay. Ooh, Bird could be a sneaky sleeper pick for this offense. Jordan Murphy, too. Love the receiver position. It's my favorite. So that's good news. Also good news, Thompson Bowling Arena, toughest place to play in the country.
Except for Buffalo.
No, they were tied.
Were they?
They went alphabetical order.
Okay.
Yeah. Longest active home winning streaks. I'll start at Wofford. They come in, I think, 8th. 15 straight wins, 15 for Prairie View A&M, 17 for Purdue, 18 for Nevada, 21 in a row for Kansas, 22 for Gonzaga. But Tennessee and Buffalo, 26 apiece.
Oh, baby.
No one comes into Thompson Bowling Arena and leaves with a W. It doesn't happen. Rick Barnes locking down Knoxville.
The last loss, I'm pretty sure, was to Bruce Pearl.
Yes, you are correct. In a game, we were up by 20.
Yep.
Thanks a lot. For that,
Billy? No, I was just telling.
Only Billy could take a 26-game winning streak at home and turn it into a Barnes bashing.
Not in that. No,
you just did it.
I was just giving the listener when the last loss was.
And you had to make sure it was Pearl.
That was a year and a half ago. It was like the second SEC game of the year.
No one defends home court like Big Rick Barnes.
Exactly. That's my point.
That's my point.
Almost a whole.
But I didn't bring up the last loss. I brought up the 26 victories. That's the difference. Congrats to Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Volunteers basketball program for just being undefeated at home in 26 games. You just don't come in here and win, man. Tough place to play. No one comes into Knoxville and just rolls the ball on the court. You got to bring your lunch pail and then still lose. Got to hurt. Billy during the break said, can't wait for the Memphis game when that streak is snapped because you're a hater. That was a private conversation. Not allowed to put that out, you Barnes bashers.
That was more of a joke.
I was just giving you a hard time.
No, you guys are Barnes bashers.
Mm.
I will be locked in when Memphis comes to town. December 14th.
Let's go.
I already know when the game is. Did you know?
Did you see what Barnes said? He said we're not rebuilding. We're just reloading.
I like the attitude.
He said our guys that haven't, played very much got to be ready to go.
Yeah, because we're reloading. Isn't reloading and rebuild like it's kind of the same thing, right? Like
I feel like reloading's what like Kentucky does.
Reloading
with players
puts a lot more pressure on the season, in my opinion.
Because you should already be loaded.
Yeah, he said that.
He's telling us that.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
we should expect them to be good.
Is that
to
what
me? Rebuilding is we got a new crop of 3 stars and we got to build them up to be good.
Yeah,
reloading
is
we got 4 stars and 5 stars.
We're not looking for new ammo. We're just firing new bullets that were in our pocket because we had them already,
right?
Like Kerry Blulak. Nope, they're gonna go get. They're gonna go get Nfali Dante.
Dante, yeah.
Nfali Dante. We're gonna go get the big 6'10" baller, and just we'll be good.
Cam Hua will have a better game than Blackshear when they play Florida. Mark it down.
There you go.
Cam Hua might be my sleeper pick for
Optimism
our team.
Optimism Friday.
Cam Hua is my guy. Don't try to steal my guy, Billy.
How many guys do you have now? I need to see your list.
What do you mean? How many guys do
I
have?
Cam, I read his. I feel like a lot of guys.
I gave a play-by-play of
James King.
That's one.
Can't
hit, not anymore.
No.
Oh, well, you
gotta, can't be my guy if you're going to another school.
You got to give us the official updated list.
No. Well, you know, until he signs, maybe he is still my guy.
Darrell Taylor, there's three.
Could flip him.
Yeah, Cam Hua, Darrell Taylor, Nigel Warrior.
Haynes King.
Haynes King.
You have four.
And, Juwan Jennings is my guy.
Otter.
By the way, they did like Vol Day yesterday and the day before where they take pictures and videos of the team for the Jumbotron and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Juwan Jennings was dancing like a fool. Knee looks okay.
Okay.
After the procedure.
All right.
No cast, no limp. He was looking good. So no fear here on my MVP pick, Juwan Jennings, the dog. He's going to be ready to go.
All right.
I wouldn't want to guard him. I'll tell you that much. I was kind of hoping Tennessee would bust out white cleats this year. I think they're staying with the black.
They are. Staying with the black. No stripe on the pants.
Is that 100%? Because last year they took pictures in the preseason with the stripe on the pants, and then they didn't have
I heard
that
was 100%.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. I don't really care one way or the other.
Black cleats.
The jersey looks awesome.
As first heard here on
We've got the 150-year anniversary patch. Had you seen that?
No, I hadn't seen that.
And we've got the new Nike Vapor Tech Fit jerseys.
Mm. Whew. You want to see those in person, you can buy your Georgia tickets. Only $110.
You know, I mean, they're overpricing that so that Georgia fans don't take all the tickets.
Oh, is that the plan?
Well, I mean, there was 60% red and black when they went to Notre Dame 2 years ago, so Tennessee's just trying to avoid the red wave moving north. I think it's a smart move.
That makes sense.
Yeah, just let the scalpers buy them and then go get them at a discount when the game was up. But I'll tell you this, if you're undefeated rolling into that game after the bye week, you're going to want that ticket for 110. 110 will be that's a hell of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
110. I mean, the street value on that, if those two teams are undefeated, it'll be $300-$400. It might be an investment. Tennessee goes down in the swamp, slaps around Dan Mullen, bye week, hype machine, 10-2.
Be elite.
I'm going to go to Chicago.
The Blitz is next. Keep it locked in here for more Fan Run Radio. We'll be back on Monday for more 3 and Out. Tune in at 7. Then, if you missed any portion of the show, check out the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. We'd love that. Have a great weekend.